Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We were discussing earlier how there seems to be a thing on Twitter today about the interviews that Hannah and Robbie and Smakowski did with families of guys making their debuts. And apparently some people think that those interviews are corny and cheesy. I, for one, actually like them. I'm a fan of those moments. And I'm curious to hear what you have to say about those broadcasting moments as someone that's seen probably hundreds of them in your career.
Yeah, I'm a fan of them. I will say that the timing is important too. I mean, you know, quite honestly, when the team was winning and the games are, you know, more important and are interesting and are moving along, you know, I think you got to kind of be careful. I think you have to pick your spots. Maybe that's the best way to say it. But I mean, Hannah does such an unbelievable job. She's just incredible. How good she is.
Well, Greg, I guess then to that point you kind of made within the point there that you've got to pick your spots and it's got to be time and place given how kind of the team is doing. I mean, you know, we've got a little bit bigger of a sample size of the Pirates under Don Kelly. What has that slightly greater sample size afforded you in terms of observations about these guys and the way they're playing just these, 12, 13 games with him, whatever it might be?
I mean, the wins and losses have been, I don't know how you determine through his couple of weeks, whatever it is. I guess he's
Does anything look different? Is a cleaner way of asking it. Like, does anything look different to you just in what you've watched?
It's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is, but it feels different. It feels better. And again, I don't know how to explain. Just being around the clubhouse and in the dugout and around the club on the road, it's a feeling like, I guess there's more an openness now. Maybe that's a good way to describe it. Where I feel like that there's a nice communication going on with the coaches. It's more, for me, my observation, it's more, they're not that they weren't interested in winning and fighting and getting through it, but it seems like they're more optimistic that they're going to, even though it hasn't necessarily shown up big time in terms of wins and losses. Each game, even last night to a degree, feels like they're in it. And I feel like that's the difference.
They were shut out again for a ninth time. Two guys who play basically the same position, who in one case, I did not think this guy was going to pretty much hit like a pitcher. In the other case, the other guy at least had a stretch of games that made us think he would be a good hitter, and it hasn't turned out that way. Hayes and Triolo. They're primarily third basemen. Greg, you've been around baseball forever. You know, it's one thing if you've got a shortstop who can't hit or maybe a catcher who can't hit. When you've got a third base, which is a power position, and you get no power there, one homer. I mean, I've never seen a guy ground out to third base and shortstop more in my entire life than Hayes. It never changes over and over again. And, I mean, can we just say it's an injury thing with him? It's the back, and he's never going to develop power? I mean, what's your take on just the complete lack of any offense they get from those two guys? I actually thought Triolo was going to be a good hitter after his first year, and I was unbelievably wrong about that.
I can't argue with you to this point, Andrew. The sample size of not hitting is getting bigger than the smaller. It's the sample size that we saw where they have both of them had stretches where they were driving the ball and hitting. That sample size is shrinking compared to this larger sample size of it's just not working. And I don't know the details. I don't know the reasoning behind it. I can't, for the life of me, understand it. It's been a massive disappointment, the two of them offensively.
Like, people used to say, well, that Hayes contract's a deal even if he never hits. I disagree with that. I need him to hit more than 250 with no home runs.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you can afford it if you're mixing him in with a team full of, like the rest of the lineup is hitting the ball. You can afford a glove man on the infield, but the others have to contribute. And that's the thing that's just so frustrating about this. It's not just Hayes and Triolo. It's a bunch of other guys. I mean, I hate to say it, but Joey Bart has one home run and hitting cleanup a bunch. Where's that power we saw from him last year?
Reynolds, again, a disaster last night. Bases loaded, strikes out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's gotten to the point where Reynolds maybe amongst these other guys, the same thing happening where they're overthinking it when they get in these situations where you need the big hit, bases loaded, runners in scoring position. Nobody seems to be clutch. And because those opportunities don't happen often enough, the times that they do, it's magnified from a viewer's standpoint, and I'm sure from the player's standpoint, when they step in there, I guess they must feel like they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders, and it's counterproductive. I mean, so it's a tough stretch, man.
I was worried that we were about to embark on another protracted slump for O'Neill Cruz. He was striking out a bunch a couple games ago, and thankfully, and really, Greg, to your last point, without him breaking out of that mini slump in a huge way, I don't know where this team's offense would be. He appears to have once again restarted his leap forward offensively, hitting maybe the hardest ball in the history of Major League Baseball over the fence a couple days ago.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, everything he's been doing, he's improving on his defense and center field. I've been really amazed at the strides he's taken out there. He's getting jumps on balls, and he's I don't know if you've seen this, but when he's coasting into the gap, he's there in plenty of time. He's almost overrunning these balls.
It's the old Andrew Jones thing where none of his catches looked impressive because he was always there way in advance.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of under the radar with what he's doing because he's getting so much attention with the exit velos and stuff. But he's just becoming, a superstar, and I don't think that's overstating things. He really is. I saw someone float the idea that, I'm sure once we're getting into June now, we're going to be talking about the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. He'd be one of my first picks if I were running the show.
I agree with that. How about this thing that gets thrown out on our radio station all the time, and I want to get your reaction to it. When fans call in and say things like, this team can't hit to save its life, why not reignite Paul Skenes as a two-way player talk? And see if you could coax him into becoming a hitter, because there are people like his coaches from college who believed that he would have been a first-round pick as a catcher or position player, Greg. What do you think is the Pirates' appetite to do something like that with him?
Well, I don't know what their appetite is, Andrew, but I dismissed the idea when he was first drafted. I thought it was ludicrous, but the more I watch this offense and thinking back to what his coaches said, I've not asked him that. I think Walkie asked him that maybe last year about, do you think you could hit? And he kind of said, well, I used to, something like that. And I don't know if he'd have the appetite for it or not, but the more this goes along, I've started to wonder, and I really thought about it the other day when I saw Ohtani starting to throw live BP a couple days ago. I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Yeah, I know he's a unicorn, but maybe so Skenes might be a unicorn. I don't know if you do it this year. I don't know if you do it this. It's maybe kind of crazy to introduce it this summer, but I don't know. Do you approach him in the off season and talk to him about the possibility? I think the Pirates are one of those teams that needs to find ways to win in the margins, as they say. And it was a crazy idea when he was drafted for me, but now maybe it's not as crazy. I think that's the way I'd say it. That's just
that?
An opinion now.
No, I know.
I have not asked anybody in the organization about that. I'm just saying when he was first drafted, I wouldn't have just thought of it. Now, watching Ohtani, I'm thinking, if Skeens were up for it, I don't know. Maybe it's not so crazy.
Well, Greg, I have to end with, I understand that watching Ohtani and knowing how great Skeens is, it makes you think about it, but it does feel kind of like Pony alluded to, and I think we've all alluded to, more motivated by their utter desperation to find bats than it does like a question as to whether or not you might have another unicorn on your hands who could actually do it. It feels to me like a last chance saloon kind of thing to try to drum up something other than what O'Neill Cruz provides.
Probably. And, maybe in a week or two or a few days, maybe the offense starts to click. Nick Gonzalez, I think, is real close to returning. We talked about Horowitz being in there. This lineup gets a chance every day. We've talked about that lineup being steady, and that's one thing Don Kelly has done, and that feels better too, that you know almost every day it's going to be Cruz, McCutchen, Reynolds. He flipped McCutchen and Reynolds. And maybe the combos of Gonzalez being in there and Cruz hitting like he is, maybe you dismiss it later, but at this present time, maybe it is more you're thinking about it as a desperation move. That's quite possible.
Greg,
and that's why you probably don't broach the subject maybe until the off season.
Greg Brown on the Pirates in Arizona trying to get back to winning baseball tonight. 940 on the Fan. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thank you, guys.
We have a big opportunity for our listeners. Come out to the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department on Thursday, June 5th from 7 to 9 and take part in our next Fan Up talent search. We're going to multiple locations this summer to try to find the next top host in Pittsburgh. We'll pick two winners from each location we go to, and one final winner will be named the newest part-time talent added to our roster. For info, including dates and locations, visit 937thefan.com.
Tell Malzy got his start, folks. Dream big.
Starkey will be excited about the clip from Brownie on Skeens as a two-way player. I know that's something he's been...
That's one of his hobby horses?
Really high on, yep.
Man, that does feel like desperation, though. Am I wrong? Like, that would be like a desperate move. You could gussy it up all you want. Like, Paul Skeens did this, this, and this as a hitter, but
I don't
man.
Think Skeens is as in favor of it as fans would like him to be.
Didn't he kind of acknowledge that he wasn't, like, as good of a hit? Like, the whole thing about Ohtani is he really was seen as a legitimate, bona fide, big-time major league hitter, and it was more that the pitching was the additional bonus with him, that like he was that good of a pitcher. I thought people had said Skeens played in like some sort of wood bat league.
He was not good.
Yeah, he didn't hit well at all.
I think that he wants to put all his energy into being the best pitcher of all time.
He should. They could have that same conversation with Bubba Chandler, by the way. They drafted him as a two-way player.
Donnie, I don't know if you saw this, but we had another incident where a producer got into it with Pompiani. So we first had Austin, who called Pomp out for being like an idiot regarding, I think it was a Will Howard versus Drew Aller debate.
Here we go. Oh, no.
So now intern Dom?
Oh, no.
Has decided to go after Pomp?
Did he do it on the air?
Yeah.
Ah.
This is from yesterday.
What about Tiger Woods?
That's a good one. Jack Nicklaus, some would say, is better than Tiger Woods.
Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Oh, my God. You just did what Limits did. You've insulted Bob.
I didn't insult Bob.
Yes, you did. He says Jack Nicklaus is better than Tiger Woods, and you just called him a moron.
Well, then I guess Bob doesn't know what he's talking about, then, if that's what he's saying.
Oh, my God. Limits said that Bob's opinion last week was ridiculous, and it became an international story.
That did get a
you
lot of...
You just called Bob a moron.
No, I said that opinion is moronic.
Oh, our old boss Jim would love that.
You said anyone who says that is a moron, Browser. The idea of college is to get a job. You have one. Don't go back to college. Bob, Dom just called you a moron.
No, don't. Joe, you're not starting something. Not on Memorial Day.
Not on Memorial Day.
He heard.
Go ahead.
I had high hopes for him.
Did you hear that, Bob?
What is moronic about that take?
Because Tiger Woods, and now listen, I will admit that I defer to you both on this, but I'm just telling you from my perspective, nobody dominated their sport the way Tiger dominated golf.
You are so young, Dom.
So young,
and,
Bob.
And just because you saw what you saw doesn't mean what happened before you saw anything existed. It did exist.
Right.
He dominated.
The way Tiger dominated?
Better. More.
Better and more.
I think Dom backed off. At least with Austin, he kind of stuck with his guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there was a better way to do that, to just say, like, respectfully, Bob, I disagree, and then, like, continue to challenge Bob and push Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Dom completely turtled there. I didn't expect that. He said, I defer to you guys on these things. He doesn't, his whole shtick is that he doesn't defer to anybody.
He's never deferred once in his life. He digs in.
Yeah, no, I still think that Dom has, like, a major network in his future because he's... A
insane.
Syracuse kid.
True.
He has absolutely zero fear to say the most ridiculous things that pop into his mind, and he's good on air. So I think he's going to be on Fox or ESPN one day. That being said, Pomp did bring up a very good point about Dom. Dom doesn't like to acknowledge things that existed before he existed. So it's like, well, Tiger Woods, he was dominating when I was alive, so anybody else from the past, there's no way they were good.
But here's the thing about him having these opinions and, you know, not allowing for others and what they say to mess with or change his mind. Mm-hmm. He completely backed down as soon as he was confronted by Bob. He turned into like the thing that most people hate, which is the keyboard warrior.
The waffler.
Who will go online and rip you but won't have the balls to say it right to your face. Is what happened there.
To bring this back to the next fan hosting for a minute, when we've done that in the past, there were a lot of keyboard warriors who tried out for it, and oh man, did they get backed down instantly. But yes, I think, here's my thought about that. I felt like Joe was setting him up.
Oh, he absolutely
did.
I
just felt like Joe laid a bear trap out there, and Dom walked right into it. Here's an argument I would make for Jack over Tiger.
Oh, now you're going to actually take this seriously?
Well, just very briefly. Jack, if you go and look, like, Wikipedia does a very nice thing where anytime the guy finishes top 10 or better at a major,
yeah,
they will write it in a yellow box. Green box is you won the major.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go look at the sheer number of times Jack finished runner-up or tied for runner-up in majors, it's something like near 20.
He's got the most runner-ups in major championship golf history.
He is... ridiculous in terms of being in the top five or top three in majors. And yep. As great as Tiger was, also the prime is shorter for Tiger. Do you realize Jack made the cut at the Masters in 2000?
I do, actually.
He finished T6 in 98.
Yep.
He made like a brief charge in 98 at 58.
There's actually
years
a really
old.
Sad story about 2000, I believe. I think something happened where his son's kid drowned, so his grandson drowned. And he wasn't going to play, but like he talked himself into it at the last second. Like, I'm going to go out there and like honor this young child's memory by playing. And then he had an unbelievable 36
hole
run.
60 years old.
Yep.
60 years old and he made the cut.
And the weather wasn't good there that week either.
And also, like, Jack came up in an era where, just like now, I think like guys who are competing now, the competition level's better. Tiger had Phil and nothing else. Jack also is playing with those Bellotta golf balls. He's playing with a one iron that looked like a butter knife.
Those wooden clubs that Limits was using the other day.
Yeah,
talking about using.
I feel
the technology is so much worse.
Exactly. Nicholas is playing with pieces of wood.
I understand that Tiger was using like a steel shafted driver, and he still had a huge advantage over everyone else. But like, as great as Tiger was, I think we got to pump the brakes a little on some of this hyperbole.
The Steelers have sent out a link to buy individual tickets. There are some available for their regular season home games. If you had to guess 8 games, what do you think is the most expensive ticket for their home schedule, excluding the Minnesota game? So leave out the Dublin game. The 8 games played at Acrisure.
I'd say Green Bay.
It is a night game. We know sometimes fans can be a little bit parsnickety about Steelers primetime games. Your guess is Green Bay. What's yours, Malzi?
You said it's a night game.
No, I said the Green Bay game is a night game. As in, you better be careful about that because sometimes the night games are actually cheaper because people don't want to go to 8 o'clock kickoff games.
Believe it or not, you know what one popped into my head first was Bills.
Well, you guys are on it. The Packers game is the most expensive ticket. The get-in price is over $200, and the Bills game is also over $200, but it's just a few dollars less.
Question about the Bills game. Will Bills Mafia take over the way we saw San Francisco's fans famously take over all that Youngstown DeBartolo connection?
No, I don't think they'll take over, but I think they'll have a nice, healthy
contingent
there.
I think there's
going
to be a healthy amount of red and blue at that game.
Third most expensive is the home opener. That's always a hot ticket. What do you think is the cheapest ticket on the schedule?
On the home
Colts.
Schedule.
Colts. Not a bad guess.
I'm actually going to go with Dolphins,
it or not. I think Malzi's right. It just popped. Yeah,
Dolphins.
It's Dolphins.
Monday night in December. That's the cheapest one.
Hold on. Ready? In Starkey's honor.
It's interesting. The Ravens game in Week 18 is the third cheapest game.
Is that just because it's so late? And I mean, right now, there's no stakes, and I guess there's at least a chance.
It's still the Ravens, though, man.
I know. I get that.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Water rescues in our area are serviced by local volunteer fire departments. A rescue boat can cost over $50,000. That's why the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, to raise funds for volunteers who serve our community, is so important. Donate now at 937thefan.com. Presented by Living Treasures Animal Park, Southside Plumbing and Heating, and Piata. Speaking of fires, you know those like super spicy like ghost pepper like chips that are out there where there's only one chip
in the bag?
In the bag. You know the ones I'm talking about?
I've heard of that.
There's only one chip in the bag.
Or is it the chip challenge where you
It's like a
one
chip
one
challenge thing.
Okay.
Never seen those before?
I've heard of this, yes. I know he's not just making it up, Don.
Okay.
937thefan.com. If you go there now, you can see the donate here page.
Okay.
If we get over $100 between now and 6 o'clock, I will do that on the air at the Fan 5 Alarm.
Oh.
If we get over $200, I get to nominate and pick someone to do it with.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to create a third tier here where I just get exempted from being picked if we hit that tier. I'll tell you right now, the obvious choice most people say is get Callis to eat one, like him just sweating. Starkey is easily the funniest person he could pick.
Oh, yeah.
Because you, there's not, like, Starkey might
Malsy,
be one
I
of
feel
the,
like my tongue is falling.
Yeah, Malsy, I feel
horse
like
follicles.
I haven't felt like this since I was hallucinating on my first day at Cortland State. I forgot to drink olive oil to coat my stomach.
This is incorrigible.
He would be, I could see him rolling around on the ground like he was possessed and be completely in his own head about it. He also just has the most sensitive stomach here. Like, he would drink so much coffee, and then he would, I made lemon pound cake for you.
Look up the chip that we should do, find one, and
the
then...
The ones with, like, Carolina Reapers, I think, are, like, the truly craziest
And we'll
ones.
Do one. I'll do one for $100, and if we get to over $200, then I get to pick someone to go with me this dark, dark place.
And it's all for a very good cause. These are volunteer firefighters you're supporting. People are not getting paid. They are doing this for you. Somebody, you know, something bad happens to you. You call out. They're the ones responding. Are you familiar?
Like, I think that, like, do you think we're going to get in trouble for saying this one? Like, I don't think that this is a bad
incentive. No, I don't think
incentive.
Any of these could,
do you,
could quote unquote.
No. You're usually good at, like, being able to sort through this
legit.
Stuff.
Okay. One little note on this. So, you know, have you guys ever heard what the Scoville scale is, Donnie? I promise you'll get to the debrief.
What time's that on your show?
No, he knows what this one is.
No, I know what it is. I've watched enough Man versus Food or shows and
I bet you Taffer's,
DDD. And...
I bet you Taffer's talked about this on Bar Rescue. The Scoville heat unit scale is the scale that is used to measure efficiently the amount of heat in a pepper.
Yeah.
So a scale of 0 is a bell pepper. That's a sweet pepper.
Mm-hmm.
0 to 500 is something like, for example, a banana pepper. A jalapeno is 2,500 to 10,000 at the highest end, okay?
Yep.
A Carolina Reaper's Scoville heat units, 1.5 to 2.5 million on the Scoville scale. So do the math on that. It's something on the order of like 10,000 times hotter than a jalapeno pepper.
Is that now the hottest? Because I know the ghost pepper for a while was up there.
Oh, the ghost is down in the 750 to 1.5 million.
Oh, he got
million.
Way passed up.
There's something that's just called Pepper X at 2.693 million Scoville units.
You know, the thing is, too, like those peppers, when you get real high up there, they just look scary.
Well, can't like don't
like you just
you
like look at one
skin,
of those super
I feel
hot
like.
Peppers.
I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't even want to handle it because then
it
if you accidentally touch your eye, you might as well be... It's going to cause, like, pain. A lot of pain.
Oh, I think if I did that and got, like, some of the oils in my eye, I'd have to leave and go to the hospital.
Well, no, they'd have that fire hose, and they just turn it on full bore. We'll wash it out,
well,
buddy.
Right, they probably have one of those areas like they do in chemistry class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like the shower.
Yep.
I was always
the eye wash. It's called,
that, like,
yeah,
I
the eye wash
to use
station.
That.
So no. They probably do have an eye wash station at the Upper St. Clair Fire Department.
No, I mean, so the guy who created the Carolina Reaper created Pepper X, which is just an ominous name. But I would, man, I might donate just to see him have to do this.
So if we get to 200, I get to pick someone to do it with.
But now are you going to allow for that person to buy their way out of it, which would donate more, which would thus donate more money?
No. Well, I mean,
I.e. take the pony way out.
Look, if I nominate,
look at Donnie,
say...
Look at Donnie pull the mini Starkey and their eyebrows go up.
If somebody doesn't want to be a good sport and says, look, I just won't do it, then I'm not going to force anybody to do
Who
it.
Who on our staff would be most subject to peer pressure or like, oh, you little baby, you can't do it? I think Doran, if you said that to him one sentence, if he said, I don't want to do it, you said, oh,
like
Doran, you're not tough enough to do it, he would give me the damn chip.
In my head right now, the person I want to do it with is Pomp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know about that. I got to work later, Pony.
I've got a mean case of indigestion.
I'm on
we'll
the sports
talk
about call
that.
That night.
The sad thing is, I probably will be too.
Hot snakes.
Actually,
tonight
you are
tonight
that
at
night,
11.
Chris.
Hot snakes.
I think you've got to do the sports call that night, don't you?
Yeah, this has always fallen on this is the second one of these we've done. Both years, it's fallen on obviously a Thursday, where I am.
Oh man,
I am the one who leaves for a short little bit. And the last one, we were in Green Tree, so it was like literally down the road.
Now
this
people are sending me pictures. It's a chip that comes in a coffin.
And there's just like one mastermind behind this?
I guess.
Our buddy
I think
Hoagie.
I think there's a few imposters out there. There's a bunch of these one chip challenges.
Our buddy Hoagie said, look up the chip that comes in the casket. I've tried them before. It's awful. Not like it tastes awful, although I assume it doesn't taste great. It sounds like he's saying what you put yourself through is awful. You know what you're supposed to drink right after this?
Milk?
Yeah. You just got a house milk.
The Downey Football Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Donald?
The Debrief, May 27, 2025. Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame, he passed away over the weekend at 79. And he infamously was the starting quarterback over Terry Bradshaw at Louisiana Tech in 1966 and 67 before he retired from football to pursue a passion for hunting and fishing. So I guess it did pay off to go that route. Do you ever wonder when you have a story like that, how that guy could have altered Steelers history? If he just keeps playing, what happens to Terry Bradshaw?
NIL at another school.
Yeah, he can't go in the transfer portal like we have today.
But Terry said, Terry told stories, now that he died, he said he loved hunting so much more. He'd just come there with like duck, you know, like he basically made it seem like there's just old hayseed showing up at practice covered in, you know, blood from the hunt. That is a sliding doors moment, though. Like what ends up going down there?
His stats were also pretty funny. He had 12 touchdowns to 34 picks.
Different era.
In his 2 years.
Holy
but yeah,
crap.
Is he a running quarterback?
Doesn't look like it.
I couldn't find like his full stats anywhere. Like I couldn't just find like Football Reference to have the Phil Robertson
stats. They don't go that far back.
I bet this guy made more money than Bradshaw.
Definitely.
By the end of it, they made a duck calling empire.
I bet this Robertson, when you even factor in Terry's broadcasting and acting work, 100%. I bet he made more money
than
Duck
him. That Duck Dynasty show made tons. Pony, bad news. Our boy Caleb has already stepped up to the plate. $100 donation. You're eating the chip.
I need 100 more. Come on, folks.
You're eating the chip. Our boy Caleb has stepped up to the plate. YouTube commenters having a field day. Donnie knows the Scoville scales, says Jory Rand's taint.
Are we allowed to say that?
We just did. Yeah, it's fine.
He's a freaking wig aficionado. He also said Malzi is Mr. Explosive Diarrhea. That chip would wreck his sphincter. No chip for Pomp. He's got heart issues.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. Malzi's bum explodes if he eats ice cream. A ghost pepper would wreck his entire year. He'd have to wear Depends for months. Am I the weak stomach guy? You've made me into Mr. Explosive
Diarrhea. We're over $200. So right now, for the moment, I am going to nominate Pomp, but I am subject to change.
He can actually, he could get a medical exemption. He could get a medical red shirt.
I got to be honest, the runner-up right now is Austin.
He would be a good one.
All right, bold prediction as to how that would go down. And by the way, go to 937thefan.com if you want to continue seeing things like this happen. Go to the 5-alarm thing, click it. You'll see the donate link. Donate. Austin would do this, and it's very predictable. I can do that. He would psych himself up like he was going to be the one person to handle the coffin chip, like it was no big thing. He would keep a straight face after eating it, right? So he'd eat the thing. And then I would give it under 2 minutes. You would just start to see involuntary changes happening to his body.
He'd have like sweat across the brow.
He'd eventually be like trying to like drink straight from a faucet. Turn the fire hose on me. I don't care.
Donnie, how do you handle hot foods? Do you like atomic wings and things like that? I don't think you do. We've talked about that. You feel like it ruins the wing experience most of the time.
Yeah, like I tend to stay away from that stuff. There were a few places when I, you know, did my little tour where I would say like, hey, you can give me your hottest one. Or like if they really wanted me to try it, I would do it. And like they would just make like a couple of them. So like I would have one and maybe Tenuta would have one.
Yep.
This wing is tough.
Yeah. Oh, this wing goes crazy.
This wing's crazy, man. So,
yeah, like there were some places where I would try their really hot ones, but it's definitely not my preference to go out and be like, yeah, I'm going to get the hottest thing they have on their menu because that bathroom visit later is not a fun one.
Countryman has messaged in, remember when you guys chugged beer on the air, but it was non-alcoholic and you had to split it up? Kale Burger choked. I crushed you guys.
That's right.
That was one of Malzi's finest hours.
That was when Kale came in and said he was built different. He learned the hard way that he was indeed not.
He was built different, just worse.
I went to high school with a kid who ate a ghost pepper at lunch one time.
Oh, no.
He had to get sent home. He got sent home by the nurse.
And that's not even like in the top three. Oh, Pony is in big trouble.
And so at the moment is Pop, and if he's not, then step right up, Austin.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.